Blessed be the God of our salvation.
Who bears our burdens and carries our sins.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me,
"Mortal, can these bones live?"
I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then the Lord said to me,
"Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord."
So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me,
"Prophesy to the breath. prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
I prophesied as the Lord commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then the Lord said to me,
mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say,
our bones are
dried up,
and our hope
is lost.
We are
cut off completely.
Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God,
the Lord will
open our graves
and bring us up
from our graves.
O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves.
The Lord will put the Spirit within us.
Put the Spirit within us.
And we shall live.
We shall live.
And the Lord will place us on our own soil.
Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading Psalm 130 antiphonally by whole verse. Those on the lector side will read the odd number verses, and those on the choir side will read the even numbered verses. Out of the depths have I called to you. O God, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication.
If you were to note what is done amiss, O God, who could stand?
For there is forgiveness with you, therefore shall be feared.
I wait for you, O God. My soul waits for you. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for you more than centuries for the morning, more than centuries for the morning.
O Israel, wait upon God, for with God there is mercy.
With God there is plenteous redemption. God shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. If you are a little new to St. Martin's, you may not know that on the fourth Sunday of every month, which is not always the last Sunday, we have a special service. So today, you're getting an example of that where it's a little more kid-friendly. We try to keep things moving a little bit, make it more interactive, and you don't usually get a full formal sermon. I did preach at the 8 o'clock, and I think, you can read it if you want to later online, but basically, I can almost sum it up in two words. Jesus wept. That's what we were talking about at the 8 o'clock service. The fact that Jesus cries and how human that makes Jesus. Some of us are doing a book study where Richard Rohr is talking. The book is called The Tears of Things, and he's talking about how our cultural inability to grieve communally, to really live into the emotions of sorrow that so many of us are feeling is harming us. And he looks to the prophets to show how the prophets in the Old Testament go from a lot of anger and outrage, which many of us may feel familiar with in the world today. They go into that place, but then they come out of it. They come through it, and they go into grief and lament. And then from lament, they come out into a place of new life, of resurrection, and even of praise. So we've been following that path, and I think you see it so well in today's gospel. And while our culture at large, which some people use the term toxic positivity to talk about that kind of, ooh, we don't want to go there. We don't want to look at those shadow sides of our lives. The culture at large doesn't always offer us great opportunities for communal lament and sorrow, but the church does. The church has rituals and liturgies that are designed exactly for that. And Holy Week is kind of the pinnacle of that in the church year. Holy Week starts next Sunday with Palm Sunday. One liturgical scholar has called it a seven-act play. They're a performance where we go from Palm Sunday through to Easter Eve and the Great Vigil. And in each of those days, there is a growing emphasis on going into those places of sorrow and lament. On the back of the bulletin that you have, you don't have to pull it out, but on the back of the bulletin, there's a black and white version of this flyer that we have around, and we can certainly get you the pretty colored one if you would like it. And it goes through the services that we're offering each of, well, throughout Holy Week. So Palm Sunday, if you're trying to just sort of, I find it can get a little confusing sometimes. It's like, wait, didn't we just hear that? Didn't we just do that? So it helps for me to have some like images or ideas that I associate with each of the major liturgies of Holy Week. So Palm Sunday, obviously, you're thinking about palms. It starts with this kind of joyful, celebratory feeling. We have donkeys who come before the 10 o'clock service, and we're out on the great lawn, and some people even compare the Palm Sunday procession to a protest march. You kind of get out there and proclaim Jesus as king. But by the end of that service, we're focused on the cross, on the crucifixion. And at the 10 o'clock service, we have a dramatic rendition of that. We have a passion play. So then we have a couple of days where hopefully you're doing something at home, going through morning prayer or the daily office in some way. And then we get to Wednesday. And Wednesday is traditionally when the church offers tenebrae. Tenebrae comes from the Latin word meaning shadow or darkness, and it's kind of leading us into that space a little deeper. And so there's a focus on lamentation, on candles going out one by one. And for us here at St. Martin's, we're offering something new on Wednesday of Holy Week. There's going to be a musical meditation on the 9 Nocturnes of Tenebrae, featuring the music of Chopin, and nocturnes, that you've got that night sound in there. So it's an appropriate way for us to do a tenebrae-inspired experience. The next day, Maundy Thursday, probably everybody has heard about that. You may or may not know that Maundy, again, we've got Latin, comes from the word for mandate. It is when Jesus told us to love one another as he loved us. And so love is the focus of that day, but specifically acts of service. So there's a foot washing ritual, and then much of the focus of that day is what some call the institution of the Eucharist or the Last Supper. So those are the things, like when you're thinking about, again, sort of images, think about the towel and the basin, how we wash one another's feet as a symbol of loving one another the way that Christ loved us. And that service ends in darkness. So we strip the altar, we get rid of everything fancy around up at the front of the church, and you wash the altar, which is a little bit of like a reminder of preparing a tomb or preparing a body for burial. And then the very last thing that happens is that the sanctuary light is extinguished, and that remains extinguished until the Easter Vigil. So Good Friday is a very solemn day, a very stark day. We don't have communion, and we have Stations of the Cross at noon. We have a proper liturgy at 7 p.m., and it's really focused on the crucifixion. Holy Saturday is the next day. It's a little bit of a misnomer. Holy Saturday is what's happening during the day, but by the time the sun sets, we're making that turn into the Great Vigil. So we start outside. Remember, we've made it dark in the church the last time we were here in the evening, and then we go outside and we start the great fire, and we bring the joyful light of Christ back into the world. And so that's kind of the image of the Easter Vigil. It is considered the heart of the church year. It is the sort of normative expression of Easter in the ancient church, a time when people were baptized and brought into the church. And we add a lot of music and dramatic readings and things like that. The Ezekiel reading you heard this morning we'll also be doing at the Easter Vigil. And then, of course, there's Easter Sunday morning. And that's sort of the day that needs no introduction. That's when we're fully into that joyful, celebratory spirit, and there's flowers and music an Easter egg hunt and all sorts of good things. So you can see in that this same sort of pathway that we've been talking about with the prophets and with Jesus, of having to go into the depths, as our psalm said, into the depths to come out to the other side. And if you feel like you didn't quite get that during Lent, it's okay, because it's all laid out for us in the various liturgies that we have for Holy Week. So with that, I just have one other thing I want to share with you today. I could use a hand. If anybody from up front wants to come, you can both. Grace, would you like to come? You want to come up? Okay. So you may remember this from a couple of years ago. I'm going to invite us, as we're sort of preparing ourselves, we're getting ready for this final stage of Lent and for Holy Week, which starts next Sunday, to do a body blessing. And so this is for everybody. It's not just for you guys, but you guys, why don't you come and face the people so people can see you? And I'm going to ask you, I have not prepared them at all, but I know that these are smart kids, and I'm going to ask you to help me by pointing to different parts of your body, like your forehead, okay, when we get there. Now, for all of you in the pews, if you want to just sort of get yourself into a frame of mind to think about praying to God, think about blessings that we can offer ourselves and one another. If you want to, you can also point to or touch the body part that we're going to be praying with. But, you know, if it's hard to touch your toes, don't worry about it. You can just think about it and be there in your spirit. So we're going to start with the forehead. You guys can point to your forehead. May the gospel teachings about non-judgment resound in your thoughts of others. How about your ears? Our ears. May you listen closely to how God invites you to grow during this Lenten season. Eyes? Can you point to your eyes? May you slow down and look more intently in order to find God's movement in your life. How about shoulders? Show our shoulders. May you carry your cross of difficulties with courage, trusting God's strength to uphold you. Your hands, you could put out your hands or touch one of your hands. May your service be so intertwined with God that this love overflows from your heart. Speaking of your heart, can you touch where your heart is? May you keep turning your heart toward God and allow this love to be reflected in the way you live your life. And finally, your feet. May you welcome God's companionship and guidance as you travel the path of life. Return with all your heart. Remember the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Be at peace. Amen. Thank you so much.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
For our loved ones, those whom we know and hold in our hearts, and all of your children who are unknown to you, to us, but always known to you, help us keep the needs of all, especially the youngest among us, in our prayers. Bond us through your love and inspire us to action alongside the voiceless. God of love, for those who teach us, our teachers at school and church, our family at home, and in all places we learn and grow, help us to listen and pray with patience as we learn from God and one another. We pray for our Bishop, Megan, and for our clergy and lay leaders. God, our teacher, for those who lead us, give the leaders of our nation, towns, communities, and home wisdom to serve people of all ages in love and peace. Give us all the language and intention to share your love in the world. God, who guides us, for the sick and poor, we pray for accesses that meet the needs of those who do not have enough. We pray for nutritious food, housing, loving relationships, and all of the things that help us to thrive. We pray for those of our parish prayer list. God of the vulnerable,
receive our prayer.
For ourselves, we give thanks for play, for music that moves us, and all of the things you bless us with. Inspire us to dwell in the stories of others and respond to the needs of our neighbors as you have taught us. God, who walks with us,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those who have died, knowing that they rest in your loving embrace. Comfort all who mourn and offer them hope, healing, and strength. God, who promises eternal life,
loving God, we thank you for always being with us. Open and transform our hearts that we might connect more deeply with the needs of others and be moved to be your love and care in the world. Help us to have courage as we learn, share, and give.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I'm Maria Kuhne-Feldman, and I have the honor of being your senior warden, but today I'm also the announcements person. So, as you know, as Pamela mentioned earlier, we have a lot of things happening in the coming few weeks, and so I really want to invite your participation in those activities, and also please take the yellow sheet home so you can read a little bit more about all that is happening. Today I do want to point out that this being the fourth Sunday, everyone is invited to join the pop-up choir. Any age can join us at the offertory and sing a fun, spontaneous anthem. So Tuesday, anyway, there are a lot of things happening in Lent the next 2 weeks. One of them is the Living Well through Lent. It's happening online. That happens on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we have the book study that Pamela mentioned, Richard Rohr's The Tears of Things. And then Wednesday, the last soup supper is being held. And there is a sign-up sheet over in the narthex. Please make your way over, and if you're able to join us, that would be wonderful. Easter memorials and thanksgivings, Easter donations in memory or thanksgiving of a loved one, this year will go to the Altar Guild, and on behalf of the Altar Guild, we thank you for your contributions to our work. And one of my special ones, because I'm coordinating it, is the Easter potluck brunch, which is, we've held these before after the 10 o'clock Easter service, and there'll be an Easter egg hunt, and we also have the potluck brunch, and we are now taking signups for that. There are two sheets in the back if you'd like to provide some goodies and or help set up or with cleanup. We'd love your participation. And the, please read about the Easter plate offering, a very worthy cause, and it's different from the Altar Guild donation. But this year's donations will go to the Heart of Davis Safe Parking Program. Lots more information on that in the on the yellow sheet. And a save the date is for May 9th, when we will be hosting the Racial Reconciliation Workshop. Here at St. Martin's. All right, plenty to read. Please join us.
In case you want something else to do Easter morning, between the 10 o'clock service and the brunch, there's an Easter egg hunt. And we need lots of volunteers to help just cordon off areas and pick up wrappers and tell kids where to go and where not to go. So if you'd like to be a sign holder or standing around or what, or a somebody helping somebody find eggs who can't find them, whatever, just let me know. I'll be, after the service, I'll be sitting in the back next to the Easter basket, so it'll be easy to find.
We need to get you bunny ears. We really do.
That can be arranged.
Well, before we do celebrations and milestones, we have a very special celebration today. We are going to have the Thanksgiving for the birth of a child. Will the family come forward, please? Fadzai and George. Oh, hello, hello. Are you excited? All right. So if you look in your bulletin on page 6, this is a service from our Book of Common Prayer, and it is not in place of baptism, but is something we do sometimes earlier on before a baptism occurs. So you guys ready? Oh, shall we wait? Are you bringing all your things? Okay. You're going to have a lot to hold on to. We're just going to be up here for a minute, but that's okay. Come on up. All right. Okay. Okay. Excellent. Don't I get to hold something? No, okay. All right. Dear friends, the birth of a child is a joyous and solemn occasion in the life of a family. It is also an occasion for rejoicing in the Christian community. I bid you, therefore, to join Fadzai and George in giving thanks to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the Lord of all life, for the gift of Samuel and Otida to be their son, and with Ishe for a new brother. Let us pray. O God, you have taught us through your blessed Son that whoever receives a little child in the name of Christ receives Christ himself. We give thanks for the blessing you have bestowed upon this family in giving them another child. Confirm their joy by a lively sense of your presence with them, and give them calm strength and patient wisdom as they seek to bring this child to love all that is true and noble, just and pure,
lovable and gracious, excellent and admirable, following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May God the Father, who by baptism adopts us as his children, grant you grace. May God the Son, who sanctified a home at Nazareth, fill you with love.
Amen.
May God the Holy Spirit, who has made the church one family, keep you in peace.
Amen.
Congratulations. Baby, sleeping through it all. Thank you. Thank you, Isha. Well, I know it's hard to follow that. Oh, I see our ushers in back. The ushers, actually, do you want to come forward, Russ? Maybe you can see better. If anybody who is new here will raise your hand, we won't embarrass you. We won't ask you to, you know, name yourself or anything. But if you raise your hand, we can get you a goodie bag. So we hope you will let us know that has some information about us, our magazine. Most importantly, chocolate. It's Sunday, so even if you gave that up for Lent, you can eat the chocolate. So while you're looking for any newcomers, I don't think we got any celebrations or milestones sent in to us. Very quickly, was there anybody who had something you wanted to show? Uh-oh, I see one over here. It's your birthday! Oh, happy birthday! Oh, I don't see any. Oh, wait, there's a hand up. Excellent. Okay, we love giving away our goodie bags. And if you turn to page 7, we have our celebrations and milestones prayer, which we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Everyone is welcome to come to communion. We have communion at the altar rail. You can stand or kneel at the altar rail, whatever is your preference. The ushers will be up front to let you know when it's time to fill in around the rail. The bread that we offer is gluten-free and vegan, so we try to make it acceptable to as many people as we can. It's homemade bread, and when you receive it into your palm, you can either consume it right away or leave it there, and then the person coming around with the chalice will take that as a sign to intinct it into the wine and hand it back to you. So you can take that either way. You can also just consume it and then drink from the cup. If you do not wish to consume something, you just cross your arms, indicating you'd prefer a blessing. And also, of course, we're happy to bring communion to you if you do not want to come forward to the altar rail or are unable to. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High.
If you cry, then I will.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us your love even when things go wrong. Jesus knew hurt and pain. Through him, you wipe away our tears and fill us with your peace, and you give us happy times and things to celebrate. In these, we taste your kingdom, a feast for all your children. You made us all, each wonderfully different, to join with the angels and sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and shows us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood. On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life. As you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Savior. Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now, with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, today and forever. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise as you are able for the post-communion prayer. Holy One, you feed us with bread from heaven and the gifts of Mother Earth. In this communion, you have drawn us into your embrace, and you call us to friendship with one another. You have given us the gift of reconciliation. May we who have tasted that gift from you offer ourselves in peace and humility to one another, and may you always walk among us as a friend. Amen. May you find in Christ crucified a strength in times of weakness, and the assurance that life is eternal, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.